Welcome to the Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine. Meet 'em, greet 'em, treat 'em, and street 'em. Today's date is April 25th, 2018, and I am your skeptical host, Ken Milne. The title of today's podcast is Pump It Up with Corticosteroids for Patients with Pneumonia Admitted to Hospital. And our guest skeptic is Dr. Jake Turner, a foundation doctor working in the UK. Welcome to the SGEM, Jake.
Hi, Ken. It's an honor to be here with you.
Well, you're here for a variety of reasons. And one reason is I looked back into my Keener contest winner records and found out that you originally won that way back in March of 2014. That's like 4 years ago you won.
Yeah, it's been a long time listening to the show, Ken. They're still there as well, hanging up on the wall.
Oh, don't give them away, because I always say you got to play to win and you got to win to find out what the cool skeptical prize is. And I think you actually won twice.
That I did, Ken, and it was a proud day for me.
Well, I've got new cool skeptical prizes, so they're different actually than the one that you have. But before we get started on today's podcast, I think you need to tell the SGEMers just a little bit more about you, because I had no idea what a foundation doctor is. I mean, does that mean you work on the foundation of hospitals? Like, are you putting up bricks and mortar? What is a foundation doctor?
Well, I suppose we are working in pretty much every specialty there is, Ken. So foundation doctors are just out of med school, 1 or 2 years out, and we rotate through all the different specialties. So mine have been everything from respiratory and infectious diseases to my favorite, on emergency medicine.
And you're in your second year of your foundation?
I am indeed, coming up to the end. So as of August, I will finish foundation training and be free to pursue my specialties.
And so then you'll be going into emergency medicine as a specialty?
I will indeed.
Oh, this is great. Super. So you're going to be laying down into the FOMED world a podcast even before you have started into residency of emergency medicine. I think that's fantastic, because the SGEM has always had this mission to make sure that we're very inclusive, and that includes all levels of learners, but it also includes the people that take care of patients before they reach the door of the hospital and until after they're discharged and have follow-up and everything in between, because great care depends on a team that's all working towards providing the best care to patients based on the best evidence.
Couldn't agree more, Ken.
All right, Jake, it's time to start us with a case.
Okay. So we have a 72-year-old gentleman who presents to your emergency department. He's been generally unwell for around a week, with a worsening cough, shortness of breath, and a fever. He's now feeling extremely short of breath, appears confused, and is pyrexial at 39 degrees centigrade. His OBS are a heart rate of 102, respiratory rate of 34, blood pressure of 110 over 67, and O2 sats of 91% on room air.
Well, there have been a large number of trials on steroids for a variety of conditions in the last year, and we've covered some of them on the SGEM.
Indeed, Ken. There was the adrenal trial on steroids in septic shock, demonstrating no all-cause mortality benefit at 90 days, and that was back in SGEM number 208.
And we also did oral prednisolone in preschool children with virus-associated wheeze and showed a decrease in ED length of stay with steroids compared to placebo, and that was number 206.
And corticosteroids for sore throats seem to provide some modest benefit in SGEM 203.
And then the last one we're going to mention is the single dose of dexamethasone was shown to be non-inferior to a 3-day course of oral prednisolone in the treatment of children with an acute asthma exacerbation. That was number 194.
And Ken, that definitely had the best theme music and title. Highway to the dexamethasone.
Oh, I see you subscribe to the same school that I do. And that is, just because I can't sing doesn't mean I won't sing.
Yep.
Well, the Cochrane collaboration has come out with yet another paper of our favorite panacea, the steroid. And this time, it's a systematic review and meta-analysis looking at the effects of steroids in patients presenting with community-acquired pneumonia.
Yeah, Ken. So this is an update from their previous review on the topic, published back in 2011. It showed that in most patients with pneumonia, corticosteroids are beneficial for accelerating the time to resolution of symptoms, but back in 2011, they lacked enough data to make any recommendations.
Yeah, the quote was, in most patients with pneumonia, corticosteroids are generally beneficial for accelerating the time to resolution of symptoms. However, evidence from the included studies was not strong enough to make any recommendations. So, Jake, what's the clinical question we're going to try to answer on today's episode?
So our clinical question is, do steroids safely reduce morbidity and mortality in patients with community-acquired pneumonia?
And what's the reference?
The reference is Stern et al., Corticosteroids for Pneumonia Review, Cochrane Database of Systematic Reviews, 2017, published in December of 2017.
Let's run through the PICO. What was the population?
Adults and or children presenting to the emergency department or primary care settings with a diagnosis of community-acquired pneumonia confirmed radiographically.
And they excluded studies including only neonates, patients with pneumocystis pneumonia, and patients with HIV. What was the intervention?
The intervention was systemic corticosteroids given at any dose, by any mode, and for any duration.
Yeah, and they had a whole bunch of different steroids, and I'll list those in the show notes. What did they compare it to?
Placebo or no corticosteroids.
Well, let's run through the outcomes. What was the primary outcome?
Their primary outcome was all-cause mortality at 30 days after randomization.
Yeah, and just to give you a little bit of nuance on that, if the 30-day mortality was not reported, then the outcome closest to 30 days was used. How about secondary outcomes?
Well, Ken, they had 10 secondary outcomes. Yes, 10.
That is twice my favorite number. Are you able to summarize them?
Sure, Ken. Essentially, do corticosteroids reduce morbidity among people with community-acquired pneumonia? And do corticosteroids increase complication rates among people with community-acquired pneumonia?
See, that wasn't so hard. They didn't need to list 10. You could have just narrowed that down. That was well done. All right, so let's talk about the author's conclusions. They said, quote, corticosteroid therapy reduced mortality and morbidity in adults with severe community-acquired pneumonia. The number needed to treat for an additional beneficial outcome was 18 patients. 95% confidence interval went from 12 to 49 to prevent one death. Corticosteroid therapy reduced morbidity but not mortality for adults and children with non-severe community-acquired pneumonia. Corticosteroid therapy was associated with more adverse events, especially hyperglycemia, but the harms did not seem to outweigh the benefits. End of quote. All right, Jake, let's run through the quality checklist for therapeutic systematic reviews. The first question, the clinical question, is it sensible and answerable?
Yes. So community-acquired pneumonia is a common diagnosis, and patients with severe CAP have a high mortality rate. Steroids are a common medication used in inflammatory disease processes, and it seems a reasonable hypothesis that they may, or may not, help modify the disease process of a severe CAP.
Question number two. The search for the studies, was it detailed and exhaustive?
Yes. As you'd expect from the Cochrane Collaboration reviews, their research was indeed detailed and exhaustive. They included multiple databases from Central, Medline, Embase, Lilacs, conference proceedings, references, and three different trials registers for ongoing and unpublished trials.
The third question, the primary studies, were they of high methodological quality?
Yes, they were. Although the authors felt that there was a high risk of reporting bias for all but two of the studies, they judged them as high risk if they had not pre-specified their outcomes with the trial registry, or if there was a discrepancy between the methods and results.
The fourth question, the assessments of the studies, were reproducible?
Yes. This was clearly documented in their PRISMA chart.
And the outcomes, were they clinically relevant?
Yes. All-cause mortality, morbidity, and adverse events.
And how about the statistical heterogeneity for the primary outcomes? Was it low?
Yes. So the I squared test for heterogeneity was zero.
You can't get lower than zero. All right, for question 7, which is the final question, the treatment effect, was it large enough and precise enough to be clinically significant?
Yes. The effect size was large and the confidence interval was fairly narrow.
Well, let's go through the key results. They identified 17 randomized control trials with just over 2,000 patients with community-acquired pneumonia to include in this systematic review and meta-analysis. The majority of the trial, 13, were in adults, with only 4, representing just over 300 patients, in children. Jake, what was the big key result?
So all-cause mortality was significantly reduced with corticosteroid therapy.
All right, and that was their primary outcome, all-cause mortality. And they showed a relative risk reduction of 0.66. How about the NNT?
So an NNT of 18 to save one life in patients with severe CAP.
How about their secondary outcomes?
So morbidity seemed better with corticosteroids.
And the adverse events?
There was no significant differences except for significantly more hyperglycemia in the corticosteroid group.
So I'll put a table in the show notes summarizing the outcomes, the relative risks, and the quality of the evidence. But now it's time to talk nerdy to me. And before we go through the 5 points, because you know there's going to be 5 points, what did you think of this systematic review meta-analysis overall, Jake?
Well, Ken, I was pretty impressed. So as you'd expect from a Cochrane systematic review, the paper is pretty well done. I especially like the fact that one of their stated secondary outcomes was to look at complications from the corticosteroids, as we know that side effects and harms of treatment are often overlooked or underreported in studies.
Well, let's get to those 5 nerdy points. And the first one is about external validity. This was a strong systematic review looking at lots of studies from all over the planet. The trials were conducted worldwide. There was 8 in Europe, 4 in China or Japan, 3 in the Middle East, and 1 from each of South Africa and Australia. 4 of the 17 trials included in this systematic review were even done in children, and this makes it a very generalizable outcome and more likely to apply to most patient populations.
Yeah, and the patient-oriented outcomes were pretty good. So mortality is a very dichotomous patient-oriented outcome, and they also looked at the mostly dead, i.e. the morbidity, and considered time to cure, hospital length of stay, complications, transfer to the ICU, clinical failure, and adverse events. And I'm pretty sure my patients care about all those things.
And Jake, I'm pretty impressed that you were able to throw in a Princess Bride reference and also really appreciated a Top Gun reference with the highway to the dexamethasone. So you are really doing well with the 80s references. I love it.
Thanks, Ken.
All right, 3 is about biases. And almost all of the trials, and what I mean by almost all, 14 out of 17, had a high risk of reporting bias. Now, this is a type of bias is when the nature and the direction of the results influence the dissemination of the research. And there are a number of types of reporting biases. So there's publication bias, which I think many of us are familiar with. But there's also time lag bias, duplication publication bias, location bias, citation bias. Oh my goodness, it just goes on and on. And I'll list those in the show notes. And it's well recognized that positive trials are more likely to be published and published quicker than negative trials. And this type of bias can be compounded when you put it into a systematic review and meta-analysis. And the authors explored the possibility of small study and publication biases using a funnel plot. No small study's effect was demonstrated in the funnel plot analysis.
And the 4th point is about COPD patients. So we know that COPD patients commonly present with chest infections and pneumonia, and these patients are known to benefit from steroids. The authors of this study were unable to separate out the patients with COPD from those without. It is possible, although I feel unlikely, that much of the benefit of corticosteroids came from patients with pneumonia and COPD.
And the fifth and final point we want to talk about is unknowns. Despite this new systematic review and meta-analysis containing more data, there is still a number of unknowns.
So the number of children included in the review was small, and the mortality event rate for the kids is pretty low. This makes it difficult to comment on the impact of corticosteroids in this particular population.
The trial also used a variety of corticosteroids, doses, and duration. Therefore, while the effect is consistent across different regimens, it's unclear what the optimal management would be.
Another unknown is about corticosteroids seeming to have an effect on all-cause mortality in adult patients admitted with CAP. This effect is increased in the group with more severe pneumonia. However, the studies of corticosteroids for undifferentiated patients with sepsis have not demonstrated a clear mortality benefit.
And one final unknown we wanted to mention was that there was a lack of data in the included trials to perform most of the predefined subgroup analyses. Subgroup analyses can be hypothesis generating, and based on the information provided, we do not know what the net effect corticosteroids would have on certain patient populations, like diabetics, the elderly, viral pneumonia, and hospital-acquired pneumonia. But that's it for our nerdy points. It's time to comment on the author's conclusions and compare them to the SGEM's conclusions.
So we generally agree with the author's conclusions.
Jake, give us a bottom line.
Corticosteroids appear to improve mortality and or morbidity in patients admitted to hospital with community-acquired pneumonia.
Can you resolve the case you presented?
I can indeed. I start the patient on IV co-amoxiclav and oral clarithromycin, as well as giving 40 milligrams of oral prednisolone for a 7-day course.
And so how are you going to take this new systematic review, this new clinical information that's been published, and how are you going to apply it?
So when I see patients with severe community-acquired pneumonia, I'm going to consider giving corticosteroids in the range of 40 to 50 milligrams of prednisolone per day or equivalent for 7 to 10 days as an adjunct to their antibiotics.
And what are you going to tell this patient that you've been treating?
So I'm going to say to them, "Hi, it looks like you have severe pneumonia. This is a type of chest infection with the bacteria in your lungs. So we're going to give you a few things to help. We'll give you two types of antibiotics to help fight the pneumonia, and I'm going to give you another medicine called a corticosteroid. It's a stress hormone that your body naturally makes when you're sick. And we're going to give you a little bit more for a few days. There's good evidence that this extra bit of stress hormone can decrease your risk of dying and speed up your recovery. The main risk is that it might make your blood sugars go a bit higher. So we'll keep an eye on your blood sugar, and it should be unlikely to cause a major problem."
Well, it's time for the Keener contest, and last week's winner was Jarek Gakwa from Poland. He is a multiple-time winner, and he's going to get a special new skeptical prize. Jarek knew that it was King George II of England who was the first person to be formally diagnosed on autopsy of having suffered an aortic dissection. What's the Keener question this week, Jake?
Well, the CURB 65 score is a well-known tool to help guide clinicians on the likely mortality of patients with a pneumonia. A score of 0 is classed as lowest risk and 5 as highest risk. What is the predicted 30-day mortality for patients with a CURB score of 1?
I think you've rigged this question this week for people over in the UK, because I'm not familiar with the CURB 65 score. Is this one that's really well known in the UK?
It is, Ken. It's what the British Thoracic Society guidelines are pretty much based on.
Well, if you're working in the UK and know the answer to this week's question, then send me an email to thesgem@gmail.com with Keener in the subject line. The first correct answer will receive one of these cool new skeptical prizes. Now, there is some additional FOMED resources out there, and we'll list them in the show notes. But I want to thank you, Jake, for suggesting this paper and being the guest skeptic.
Thanks very much for having me, Ken.
Well, now you know that you have to give the tagline, and you've got to really throw on the thickest accent you can come up with.
Okay, Ken, I'll give it a try. Remember to be skeptical of anything you learn, even if you heard it from the Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine.
Talk to everyone next time.